Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Lads, we seem to be living in a world where good is just never enough. In a world where we're constantly trying to better ourselves, whether that's in our personal or our professional lives, not only is this kind of a search for perfectionism exhausting, but it's also apparently potentially dangerous. I am going to be joined now on the line by Thomas Curran. He is assistant professor in the Department of Psychology and Behavioural Sciences at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am very, very well, thank you for asking.
So Thomas, we're talking about perfectionism, and it's a subject that I am highly interested in because I don't know if it's the industry I work in or maybe the way I was raised, but I definitely would have a little bit of "you must succeed at all costs" in me, you know, as opposed to the journey. So what is the problem with how perfectionism is kind of celebrated a bit in society today?
Well, there's just no joy in perfectionism. Perfectionism is a personality trait containing exactly the things you just mentioned there. Really, really high standards, excessively high standards, but comes with a lot of baggage, and baggage in the way of things like self-criticism and worry and rumination when we haven't succeeded or things haven't panned out the way we planned. But on the other hand, just as we criticize ourselves, we also can't feel any lasting satisfaction from success. Because again, as you mentioned, the better we do, the better we expect ourselves to do. So we're kind of trapped in this exhausting, unwinnable game of high and escalating standard where we never really feel like we're ever good enough.
And I think that that is fueled hugely by social media at the moment for a certain generation because, you know, everything there is perfect and everybody's really successful and it's, you know, seen to be normal.
Yeah, normal, desirable. It's really interesting. Social media is a scrambled reality, a sort of hyper reality of limitless perfection. And no matter where you look, there's always somebody who's got a better life or a better lifestyle that we want to try and emulate. And again, it goes back to this idea that, you know, even an objectively high standard of living is not enough within that domain, because there's always a more luxurious life or there's somebody living a better life, whatever it might be. And it's, you can't really escape. If you're always on that platform comparing yourself with other people, you're never going to feel good enough because there's always somebody there who seems to be more perfect.
So where does it start for people, like this idea of, okay, it's got to be perfect, it's got to be above the rest, the failure is not an option? Where does that whole kind of ideation come from? When does it set into somebody?
Well, it's a really big question. A lot of I wrote a book called The Perfection Trap, and a lot of the focus in that book was on societal pressures and how, you know, growing up as impressionable teens, we take on these norms in wider society that you've got to excel, you know, you've got to achieve, you've got to reach the top of the mountain, because all we ever see around us are the top 1% or the 0.01%. That's the goal, that's the ambition, that's where we've got to head to. And I think, of course, if you live in that world, you're going to internalize those pressures as pressures to be perfect, to be flawless, and so you kind of take on a perfectionistic mindset almost from a very early age, and then it's only emphasized even further as we grow up and go to school and social media, as you've mentioned. So perfection is all around us, and I think that's why we're seeing more and more perfection.
But you mentioned school there. Do you think that's where it might start for some people?
Absolutely. I mean, school is, when I was at school, you know, it wasn't quite the pressure cooker it is today. You know, young people know that a college degree or a university degree is really, really important for their future life chances, which it is. And getting into the best schools is the way that we can sort of guarantee, I suppose, a good standard of life. And parents see that, children themselves see that, and teachers and schools know that too. So there's a there's an emphasis on excellence. There's an emphasis on excelling at all times, hitting the best grades. And, you know, you get a good grade, but okay, now the next test, now the next test, and now the next test. You know, again, it's this unrelenting pressure to keep excelling. So I do think schools are one of the domains in which perfectionism can be fostered.
And I think, you know, obviously I can only speak from my experience, but I went to an all-girls secondary school, and I think girls can be so fiercely competitive with each other when it comes to education. Like, there's this constant need to be the best in the year and the best in your group of friends and always being the one who's at the top, as opposed to maybe acknowledging, well, I got a C, and you know what, for me, because I struggle with this subject, that's amazing.
Yeah, and do you feel like, I'd add another piece of this, because yes, there is a pressure to be perfect, but also there's a pressure to appear as if everything's going fine and that you're not like scrambling under the surface, that you're always kind of floating serenely. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's this pressure to manage the impressions as well, like not just work really, really hard and compete and get A grade after A grade, but also make it look like to other people that we're just smashing it effortlessly.
And
this is
easy.
No problem. Yeah, exactly.
Which is just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It is. It's so ridiculous. But we see it all the time. And I see it here at LSE in a big school. A lot of pressure. Students really work really, really hard. I know they work really, really hard because they tell me. But in class, on the surface, it's almost this kind of this gliding. And you know underneath that there's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of worry. But I think that's the other thing about perfectionism. It forces us to manage those impressions all the time and try not to show any weakness.
And I think that's another aspect of it, what you just said there, that they tell you how hard they're working. It's like you need people to know. And don't forget, I'm working really, really hard here.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost a badge of honour, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Our favourite flaw.
I was reading some of the research here that says there's a correlation between the rise in mental health disorders at the moment and the rise of perfectionism. So do you think that they are inextricably linked, or talk to me about that a little bit?
Yeah, we've done a lot of work showing perfectionism is rising. We also know that mental health is deteriorating in young people in lockstep. Now, of course, you know, this is a circumstantial correlation, so we have to be careful that we aren't using causal language to say these two are definitely linked. But I think there's, you know, it's not the whole story, don't get me wrong, there are many more factors. But certainly, I think the rise of perfectionism, the rise of what's called socially prescribed perfectionism in particular, the sense that everyone expects me to be perfect, is something that's going up really fast at the moment. We know it's linked to mental health difficulties, things like anxiety, depression, self-image related complications like bulimia and self-harm. We know perfectionism is linked to a lot of these different mental health outcomes, and the two are rising in lockstep, which suggests that perhaps there's a link. And basically, that was my book, really, to try to raise the alarm to say, look, we probably need to pay attention to this because it might be behind some of these other trends that we're seeing out there in society.
And especially, I think, if it's something that's been fostered in the youth, like while you're really young, because those things, even if you learn as you get older, I think that, oh, do you know what? This might not be the healthiest thing, because you were a child when you learnt it. It's very, very hard to get rid of something that's kind of ingrained into your personality as to who you are. Like, no, this is who I am. I strive for the best.
Yeah, absolutely. I talk to clinicians. I'm not a clinician, but I've talked to a lot of clinicians who work with very highly perfectionistic people. And they'll tell you, every single one of them will tell you, perfectionism is the hardest thing to work with because it's so tightly held by people. They just don't want to let it go. it's part of their identity. They will give up everything else before they give up their perfectionism. It's what they think is holding them up in the world when everything else seems to be going wrong. I still have my perfectionism, I still have my work ethic, I still have you know, my high standards, and the challenge is to really break through that, to bring people to the realization, actually, it's the perfectionism that's behind many of those other challenges that we're experiencing in our lives. And if we can somehow alleviate some of those symptoms, manage those symptoms, recalibrate and perhaps bring ourselves down the perfectionism spectrum ever so slightly, we'll find it a lot easier to manage the stresses and strains of life, and we'll have better mental health. So that's the real challenge of trying to get people to relinquish perfectionism.
So, I mean, I think we should be looking at failure differently then. Like failure is, and I know it's difficult for a lot of people. I certainly find it incredibly difficult in the moment, but it should be seen as an opportunity to learn.
Yeah, failure, setbacks, things not going as we planned. You know, this is part and parcel of life, isn't it? We live in an imperfect world, chaotic world sometimes. We're imperfect people. We're going to make mistakes, we're going to slip up, and we're going to fail. Failure is just regression to the mean. It's very ordinary. And our aversion to it, I think, speaks to how perfectionism can really make connecting with our common humanity almost the hardest thing to do. Like accepting that we're fallible is almost the hardest thing to do. And so part of relinquishing perfectionism is absolutely, as you say, recognizing that failure, mistakes are just part and parcel of life, and they're going to happen, and they need to be embraced, and that we can learn from them, and we can develop and grow, and all that great stuff. But until we recognize that perfectionism is what stops us doing that, then it's going to be really difficult for us to, you know, truly accept that failure, mistakes are just part and parcel of the learning process rather than something to be ashamed of.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I was definitely taught growing up, and it was, in theory, it was supposed to be a positive lesson, you know, anything is possible if you will work hard enough. But I think if you have the personality type that's going to take that to the nth degree, it's going to be problematic, and it's going to be detrimental to, you know, learning and growing and accepting those moments of failure.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is a wonderful positive message, but we have to also be aware that not everything is possible to everybody. And that doesn't mean you don't try. It just means that we have to be realistic about our lives. And, you know, I would have loved to have been a football player, but unfortunately, I didn't have the physiology. I didn't have the aerobic capacity. No matter how hard I trained, it wouldn't have happened for me. Mm. And that's the same across all walks of life. You need a bit of luck sometimes to make it to the top. You need to be in the right place at the right time. Yeah, you know, a lot of it is not just about hard work, but it's also about circumstance and fortune. And perfectionism is something that will make us try and control and perfect everything and all around us. I like a concept called radical acceptance. Radical acceptance is basically just living life with a bit more equanimity, about accepting that there are limits to the things we can control, and that's okay. You know, if our talents and abilities take us to the very top, amazing. But, you know, most of us are going to be somewhere around the mean. About 75% of us are going to be average, and there really shouldn't be any shame in being average. And I think that's a really important lesson for the perfectionist, because sometimes it is okay to be ordinary. You don't have to be extraordinary all the time. And I don't think that precludes success, but it does make us a lot happier.
So, okay, well then, is there a way that we can measure our, you know, our search to be perfect and kind of figure out when it's a problem, if it's a problem?
The best way to if you want to know if perfectionism is having an impact on your life, you think to the times you've been successful in your life, when things have gone well, and ask yourself, how did it feel? Because most people in that situation will feel a lot of pride, a lot of satisfaction, but perfectionistic people will feel relief that it didn't go wrong.
Interesting.
There's a constant worry always about what's going to happen if we slip up. And I think if you feel that a lot in your life, if you feel like you're just singly unable to have a lasting satisfaction for your accomplishments, it's probably that perfectionism is impacting on your well-being, probably, not all the time, but probably. And that's really the moment to sit up and reflect about, okay, well, how can I start to turn the corner on those feelings? You know, how do I try to escape some of that self-criticism and fear that's driving me forward? And the best way, I think, is to, Brené Brown talks a lot about vulnerability. I think that's a really important thing. Just challenging those beliefs and pushing forward irrespective of them, getting a bit comfortable with discomfort. You know, put your hand up to do a talk in work if that's something you feel like you're particularly confident at, or maybe lead a project, or share an all hands, but do something that takes you a little bit out of your comfort zone just for a moment and sit with the discomfort. And in those moments, be self-compassionate to yourself if things don't go quite so well, because they will do, it's a new thing. And over time, just getting a little bit more comfortable, challenging your perfectionism, those perfectionistic beliefs, in ways that you wouldn't ordinarily do. But every single day, you just grow a little bit more confident and a little bit more comfortable. And you can start to enjoy more of both the times where things haven't gone well, because you're going to learn, and also the times where things have gone well, because you can savor and appreciate that success. So it's really just about challenging the perfectionistic belief and reframing those moments of self-criticism and fear into moments of opportunity.
So, okay, before I let you go, Thomas, I want to ask a just a selfish question as a new mum. What can I do? What can we do to try and help our kids to not end up as perfectionists, or to try and counter it?
That's a really good question. I'm a new dad as well, so I'm navigating this at the same time as trying to write and speak about it. The first thing to say, it's really tough. It's really hard to be a parent. So you're going to do things wrong and make mistakes and all the rest of it. Those are things to be embraced. That Winnicott talks about the good enough parent or the good enough mother, and I think that's an important mantra to take through to our own parenting. You know, if we live in an imperfect world, we can't make the perfect surroundings for our kids. They are going to slip up, we're going to slip up, and in some ways that's really important, because the child learns that they have to deal with setbacks, and they have to deal with perhaps, you know, falling over once or twice, and the repercussions of that, because that's what they're going to experience later in their lives. So anxious rearing has a very strong relationship with perfectionism. So try to parent with as calm an equilibrium as you possibly can. Don't overreact to things. And also very, very quickly, when they grow up, it's so, so important they learn that love is unconditional. Never make love or affection conditional on things like achievement or outcomes in sports or schools, because that way they learn they're only really worth something when they've done something well. And that when they haven't performed, that says something about them as a person. The unconditionality of regard is so, so important. So when they've done well, hug them. When they haven't done quite so well, hug them. It's the consistency of love and approval that's really important for a safe and secure sense of self-concept and self-esteem as they grow older.
So can I keep saying, you're fabulous, you can do whatever you want?
You can absolutely keep saying you're fabulous.
Okay, good. That's what I needed to know. Thomas, it's been great chatting to you. Thanks for taking the time. That was Thomas Curran, Assistant Professor in the Department of Psychology and Behavioural Sciences at the London School of Economics and Political Science, talking about the dangers of perfectionism. And I think if we learned anything from that, it's let's try go easy on ourselves. You know, achieving something is usually never worth it if it comes at the cost of your personal well-being. And I must keep telling that myself. You know, I think it's something that we all need to have a little bit of a mantra of. And if anyone's been affected by any of what you've heard today, there are some great resources to be found all in one place. All you've got to do is go to rte.ie/helplines.
Jem Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.